The views and opinions of the host and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Thursday, December 7th. And it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for the day as we decide to talk about a kaleidoscope of topics today. I mean, the news, Guardian newspaper is full of topics to talk about. And I wish you to go and just purchase them and then come and join us, right? The numbers today are 323-6232-325-4316-325-4259. So the reason why we took a while to start, we know we normally start at 11:07, because Aaron and I were debating on which of these news headlines to discuss. One or two things that she said, man, Nuri, let's talk about that. And I said, we can talk about that, but that's like a subtopic. Let's talk about things that are trending that can influence, in fact, the Bahamas in general, our psyche. I like things like that. Not necessarily controversial topics, you know, but topics that I've seen that is so trending that it means that the Bahamas is trending, is changing. So let me bait Aaron. I'm going to bait Aaron. You ready to get baited, Aaron?
Yep.
I'm going to bait Aaron and have a response. And of course, we want the listening audience to respond as well. Recently, my prime minister, our prime minister.
Oh, I just wanted to make sure, because you sounded for a second like you had a special prime minister.
He is special.
To you?
He's special to me.
Okay.
My prime minister, our prime minister, addressed a in quotes, hate crime.
Yeah.
Right? And I only heard brief snippings about the hate crime. And of course, the minister is urgent. You know, when something is hate crime, it's definitely the head of the country must respond. And of course, our prime minister responded. The Ministry of Tourism, the Minister of Tourism responded. I'm surprised Foreign Affairs hasn't responded as yet. But the U.S. Embassy responded, right? So you know when it involves the U.S. Embassy, this is something urgent that needs critical attention, right? Let me give you the backstory. There's a nightclub. There's a nightclub where we had a tourist came to the nightclub, and she was dining and having a good time, and she felt as if she was being discriminated against. And it moved from being discriminated against where she claimed that she was violently and because of her sexuality. And Aaron's going to pull up the article right now to read that into the records, right? She says she was attacked because she is transgendered, right? Or
Trans woman.
Trans woman.
So she's transgender, and yeah, she's a trans woman.
Yeah. I can let you do all of that right now in terms of the right term. Trans woman. She's a trans woman. And of course, when you hear hate crime, especially in the tourism area, it needs to be addressed immediately because we pride ourselves of being a friendly and safe environment. And the claim that this was a hate crime targeting a specific group of people is alarming, is shocking, and something that could be detrimental to our tourism product. And of course, the Ministry of Tourism had no choice but to respond. And if they mentioned it's unfortunate, they're investigating. And of course, our Prime Minister responded and said that hate crimes are intolerable, and that it's something of concern. It's going to be thoroughly investigated. And like I said earlier, the U.S. Embassy demanding that a thorough investigation as to what transpired. Mm-hmm. Things that interest me, right? And this is why I'm going to beat Erin Green right now, right? And she being a human rights activist and doing activist advocate work regarding these things, right? Our Prime Minister, and this reason why I'm beating this, right? Because of culture. Bahamian culture. Bahamian culture demands or would suggest that if you were born male, and even if you are a trans woman, born male and you become a trans, it is my choice to whether regard you as a male, so it's a male who dresses like a female, or I choose to acknowledge you and say, okay, that's a trans woman or that's she. I noticed that our prime minister, addressed the trans woman as she. And I felt a sense of endearment. Say, and he mentioned she throughout the speech. Mm-hmm. She did this and she did that. It's unfortunate that what happened to her. And I say, this is maturity, I think, in how we view the trans community. That we do not, due to our biasness and how we are socialized, and know that's a man. And that's a he. I'm not caring what they say. That's a he. So I took that as a point of interest and a point that I smile at our Prime Minister, because I'm sure he made an effort to make sure he was politically correct, right? And which is rightly so. My concern also is the U.S. Embassy involvement. I'm sure they're involved because it's one of their citizens. And as a embassy, they have a duty of care to their citizens. That's why I was pushing about our duty of care to our citizens and how our lack of response sometimes, it seems, to taking care of our people, right? But definitely the U.S. Embassy will respond when it has to do something with their people, right? And there's a back and forth regarding what exactly transpired at this nightclub, mm-hmm. right? What I've learned so far is that there hasn't been any, from what I heard, there hasn't been any formal complaint by the lady, right, to the police. Say, well, I was attacked for assault, therefore I'm pressing charges. I heard that a lady is suing. A step, to me, in terms of saying I was assaulted. I'm going to the police. I'm going to report that these people hurt me. And move to the point is I'm going to get some money because these people hurt me. And I heard that the prime minister, this is the concerns. I heard that the prime minister said there's going to be a thorough investigation. And knowing from previous utterances from the commissioner of police, when he said that there has not been any complaint, so there's nothing to investigate on other serious crime. And let me repeat that. From previous pronouncements by the commissioner of police and those in charge, when I asked him, what is happening regarding this? He said, there hasn't been any official complaint, so there's nothing to investigate. Case closed. When they complain, we will go and investigate. And to know that our prime minister has concluded, declared, there's going to be a thorough investigation, even though that there's no official complaint. I am, this dual type reaction is get me perplexed, right? I just trying to suggest that sometimes other people just get treated better, right? So this is why I beat you now, Aaron, and you can respond to that. Because I have one or two other things I want to discuss, but I want us to read this in the record. One, to show respect to the lady who was assaulted, to make sure that this issue is brought to the fore. Mm-hmm. Two, to even in regards to the gentleman who's being charged, apparently the lady said she's assaulted by two or three people, right? And he gave his explanation on what has happened. And three, I think that's two, so three will be our culture and how we view, in particular, trans people. LGBT is different from this trans.
So LGB and then T.
Okay, then T.
Right?
Like I said, we always had homosexuals into the Bahamas. We are used to them, right? But the trans phenomenon, forgive me, is new to us in terms of how we are socialized and dealing with them.
The visibility,
right. And the interaction.
Because right. What we would have found, if we start with the third first, what we would have found in the public discussion and discourse around the gender equality referendum 2016 is Justice Sawyer, Dame Sawyer, would have relayed a personal story to the public, sharing that she has spent a significant amount of time caring for and making provisions for children that were born intersex.
And mind you, and I appreciate you, Aaron, and I know you try to educate at the same time. As an advocate, that's just part of your job.
Yeah.
Bahamians know intersex.
We do know intersex.
We know intersex. And the conversation, and forgive me.
Yeah, yeah.
And forgive me. And I know your job,
mm-hmm.
right? But for this conversation, if you can,
mm-hmm.
please. We are familiar with intersex is, and we don't mean intersex people. And in terms of ambiguous, we're talking about people who feel inside themselves that see. And right. I'm trying to give the preamble.
There's just a little gray area where a number of trans people who say I feel.
Yes, that's people that we're talking about.
I believe or I know.
Yes.
I am in the wrong body.
Yes, those people.
Right. Some of those people are actually intersex, and their feeling corresponds to something that they can't see inside their own body. So they make genitalia of a man and internal genitalia of a woman, for instance. So there's this little gray space where some people who say they are trans are actually intersex, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bang. Culturally, in terms of trans, you're right. This is the visibility of it is very new, and we're very opposed to it. And there are real reasons why we're opposed to it. People are going to say, okay, listen, it's the Bible, and the Bible says. But a lot of people believe you have your experience is what God has formed for you, and a part of that experience is the body that you're in and however you feel about it. And they think that that's a part of your journey with the Lord. And there's nothing you can do or should do to change that.
God is absolute.
Bang. There's another space, though,
what?
Culturally, that we interrogate. And that is the culture of sexual behavior. See, when you are loose sexually, when you are promiscuous individually or collectively, then you rely on the rules being enforced. See, if I's a boy, and I go to the club every weekend, and my purpose of going to the club is looking for someone to engage in sexual intercourse with, and they say looking, that's like a joke, going there and finding someone to have sex with, I am not interested in all of the rules that adults must follow about sexual intimacy. I'm not interested in who your people is. I'm not maybe not even interested in what your name is. I'm not interested in how old you are, because I just assume if you're in the club, you are of age. We don't ask any questions because we rely on a strict enforcement of rules. Is a woman in a nightclub, you better be a woman in a nightclub and not a trans woman or, in their minds, a man pretending to be a woman. See, culturally, we rely on a strict enforcement of the rules so that we could be loose in our sexual behavior. But if we were following the tenets of the faith that we say we hold as premier and paramount in our country.
You know, you preach it right, Aaron.
You could never fall to it because you would not be engaging in sexual intimacy in that way. That's the cultural part.
Yeah.
That's the cultural part.
Just saying, you're preaching, Aaron. We didn't know that. And this ain't helping the conversation.
It is helping the conversation.
Now, and let me put more sauce inside. That's why I need you to respond.
Because culturally, this is what we say. Culturally, what we say is, you caused me to hit you.
See, I can get to that. See, that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, but
all of that preamble.
All of that is culture.
You're losing us. You're losing us inside the conversation. What I'm trying to say is, if I am at the club, right, in our culture, and see, this would say culture dictates law to law. I mean, that's a quote someplace, right? If I am in a club, and if I'm flirting, you say promiscuous behavior, whatever it is. I say flirting and talking to you for whatever reason to be the conclusion, right? And you are a trans woman. And as I flirt and a touchy-feely and we going back and forth, right? And I found out through a third party, second party, you know you're talking, flirting with a man. Do I have a right to be angry? Do I have a right to react? And I'm not saying that's what happened inside this case, right? Because one story suggested something like that. The next story said, man, I know the person was rude.
You have a right.
But do I have a right to react and say, man, you with you? And you can tell me, say, you know, but I have the same thing you with you is, but we still can have a good time, you know.
So pause. You have the right to have an emotional response.
Okay.
You want to be angry, be angry.
Okay.
Who are you angry at?
The person who didn't tell me that they have genitalia that look like Max.
You're not angry at yourself?
No, because I do what I normally do.
So you're not angry at yourself?
I do what manners do.
So you're not angry at yourself?
How I could be angry at doing what manners do?
Do all men do that?
All men is flirt.
So let's go right there, because you said flirting and then you said touchy-feely.
I don't know.
Those are two
some people are touchy-feely.
Those are two separate acts. Let's talk about it. What are the cultural rules around consent?
We ain't talking about consent.
That's exactly what we're talking about.
What we're
talking about.
Thinking and flirting with a woman and finding out that this woman that he's flirting with also has a penis.
So let me ask you a question. You ever flirted with a woman?
No. I mean, I got excited, jumping up quick because I didn't flirt with a woman.
Met a woman, attracted to her, flirted with her, held her hand, talked about taking her out to dinner and what's going to happen after.
I'm waiting.
You at a bar, you at a meeting or a
function. They're hearing you.
And y'all two smiling in each other's eyes.
Uh-huh.
And you've thought about all the things you're going to do to each other. And then you realize.
Did I realize what?
Then you realize that that's your first cousin, or worse yet, that's your father's child, your father's daughter that he never told you about.
I'm from Athens. We school with that.
Your sister?
So here's what I'm saying.
In that moment, do you have a right to be angry? Sure, you have the right to an emotional response.
But that's still different from finding out that the woman that you're talking to also has a penis. That's a different...
It's not.
It's not?
It's not.
It's not?
It's not.
You know how surprising that is?
Do you know how surprising it is to be kissing someone and then discover that, that you are blood relative of theirs, an immediate blood relative of theirs?
I can forgive and forget that, Aaron. But I can. No, I say I can't picture it.
Because incest is also a sin and against the law.
I can forgive myself for accidentally kissing a cousin, right? Not knowing. But I don't know if I could forgive myself for kissing a woman that has a penis.
As
a change man.
In the same way,
I've morphed into something else, Aaron.
In the same way, who's...
I'm different now.
Whose fault is it?
It can't be my fault.
Is it her fault for not disclosing that she's your sister?
You're trying to confuse me, Aaron.
I'm not trying to confuse you.
You're trying to confuse me, Aaron. The woman with the penis.
We're talking about cultural norms around sexual behavior. And we're talking about consent. And the point that I'm making is...
You just don't want me to get mad.
I want you to be able to manage your emotions responsibly. Because you get mad at someone doesn't mean that you're allowed to hit them or be violent towards them.
What's the regular male response if he finds out the woman that he's flirting with, engaged in this dance, this romance with, has the same apparatus as he? The normal response is to get physical.
No, the normal is what, dear men, if you are in a bar, and you're talking to a woman.
Yes.
Here's the first thing.
Go ahead. Check for Adam.
Why are you touching her?
Because she's touching me.
Why are you letting somebody touch you and you don't know who they are?
Because we...
What type of mature man have you become?
You like to dance?
Yes, I do like to dance.
And when you dance, do the people touch you when they dance?
When I dance, we start off face to face. See, you can't come up behind me in the dance and just start whining on me.
You don't go to soca music.
That's a problem.
Because,
here's
Aaron,
what's going to happen.
If I meet you in a club and you shape like how you shape and you are dancing and using your posterior, surely, especially for soca, we do carnival now.
Right.
Surely you will allow me to just press up against you and say...
So, pause. Right. It'd be in the dance.
Yeah. Soca dance.
There's a woman.
Yeah, soca dance.
There's a big bouncy behind in front of you.
Yes, undersized.
You run upon it.
Yes.
You start prancing upon it.
Yes.
The person says nothing.
Not because
you're in a dance.
Yes.
And what we do in a dance
is
we prance upon each other.
Yes.
The music slows or changes.
Okay.
She turns.
Uh-huh.
The light hits her.
Yes.
You realize that this woman looking kind of like your cousin from Miyaguana.
Okay, what's
the boy? Can you get mad at her?
Not my cousin, no, man.
No, the person who you thought was a woman but wasn't a woman just had a woman's bumsy. Can you get mad at them? Did they invite you to prance upon them? Did you ask them if it would be okay for a dance? Did you get their consent to dance with them? See, how could you get upset if you didn't inquire?
Ladies and gentlemen, Aaron trying to confuse her. Let's go to the phone call. Because Aaron's been be technical in there. And I see where she's going. But I'm saying, if I had to dance, this is soca. You know? And they and it's sticky. You ever heard of sticky behind? Is what they call it? Sticky.
Is that the language that we use now? I can't see. This is it. It's about cultural let's go to the caller and then let's get back to that.
Aaron.
Good morning, caller. Sorry about that.
It's okay. Good morning, guys. I can move quick. Poppy,
yes, sir.
You can hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, listen. The question, right, with the sister, you asked if that's your sister, and you say you kind of confusing it, right?
Yeah.
But to answer it, I believe, like, if the sister knows she's my sister, and don't tell me, she have a duty to tell me that.
Mm-hmm.
And like Nuri say, you make it slide that more different than the next one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you raised a point earlier about pretending and believing.
Mm-hmm.
See, I understand. We, behemoths, I think we get mature enough. We kind of understand there are some people amongst us, our families and others, who are kind of a different belief, and they believe differently, you know? And that different from the set who pretending. See, I thought, like, we had special clubs for people who, of that lifestyle, who would want to socialize and stuff like that. I believe when you know you a certain way, you have a duty. See, what Mr. Nuri or what a lot of us talking about, how we react after we find out.
Mm-hmm.
That's one part of it. The part of it, what's important to me is that you who know who you is, my family member, or a certain way, but you have a belief. You socialize in public or whatever. I think you have a duty before anything happens to say, now, look here. I'm here socializing, having fun, or whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So, but we understand how embarrassment go. People react a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
But the people who know you a certain way, you know you're a family member, or you know you're born a certain way, but you believe, you have a duty, especially when you come out public. I can see if you're doing it privately or in a group of people who does it that way. Last night, what that was, Thursday, Wednesday night on Cable 12,
mm-hmm.
they bring on something with the Chick Chiny thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think I hear your voice.
Ooh,
I think you was a part of it.
The new Chick Chiny catcher.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, my daughter was sitting down with me. She's nine or eight.
Okay.
But she's one of them smart little children. And, you know, that has come when you get parents who push you too.
Yeah.
And like on the honor roll and everything.
Yeah.
And she glimpsed it because like two TV on and phone and different things. Then.
Yeah.
And we started, she's to talk to the little brother, telling him, explaining him, because the teacher teach her about it, and she was, like, so happy to know she knows so much about the Chick Chiny, and if you go in the bush, and Andrews, and all that stuff, and all that stuff. And I was saying, yeah, when ladies talk about it, then your voice come on. I say, see her there? I say, that's Erin Green. I say, boy, I love her. I say, she's so smart. I say, if I was a parent, I'd be proud of her. Because, like I tell you, I'm talking to a daughter who's
mm-hmm.
smart, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Encouraging her. Encouraging her,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. I tell this lady, when she was explaining to her brother, but the Chick Chiny, she know all the information. A teacher must be from the grade before and all that. And she's bringing him up to date and stuff like that. And she's so happy to know she know. But our country, something would happen. Yeah. And she says it's a folk story. And mm-hmm. explaining what is a folk story and all that. And all of that stuff. And, you know, I connecting that to this.
Yeah.
I know you ain't you mature enough and you smart. I say, you see her there, I like her so much. They say her eyes pretty. I say she's a lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
I say, but I like her. That's for something for her and God to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
I say, but you see her there, boy, she could help this country. I say, she gets so much knowledge in her. I say, she get the opportunity to be in a position to do things. I say, listen, she's educated. She say, where? I say, like on the radio and the talk show, like when you're all in school and stuff
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was proud to talk about you and to know we talking about this, you know. And you might differ. We might agree to disagree with the situation, what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But even with you, you know what I mean? You might look a certain way. And like
mm-hmm.
I realize there's a difference between these people who transvestite, lesbians, homosexuals. It's kind of a difference. Some
mm-hmm.
of them conduct themselves differently.
Yeah.
And like the bottom line is that we in the Bahamas, we get to be mature enough that we accept if we realize these people in our family too, and they said we in our family too. They have a lot to offer to the country.
Mm-hmm.
But that embarrassment thing and our culture and the way we feel and man and stuff like that, and if we just ignorant of the fact and ain't take a good look and ain't realize because you're so pretty, but you was a man,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You shaped so good, but you was a man. You got to be careful if you go to certain countries, man. I believe, like, yeah, America, and yeah, the prime minister come out and say this and calling him she and all that stuff and being politically correct and everything. But the bottom line is that, and one last thing,
mm-hmm.
you know what I was thinking?
Yeah.
I say, I believe when I first say it, that could be it. Anything is possible in life. I say, you think the test, you think there's them trying to, they cut them in or something. I say, you think they're trying to test us to know how we go and to send someone out there to know just the Bahamas and our culture and to let this happen so they could talk, but not just suing, but to embarrass the country? I thought they had clubs, special clubs. I thought the Rollins man was opening up a place. I know they let him do it.
I
but
got
he was
you.
Saying
yeah.
that they've been doing socializing all over the country for years. So I wonder if this was just a setup and they... I love you, Aaron. Keep up the good way. Thanks, man.
Look here, Papa, I want to say thank you. Right? I just want to say thank you. Right? Let's get into it.
And let's get into it. But we have a caller.
Yeah,
we have a caller. And plus, Papa, that was my child on that interview,
by the way. Not the farmer.
Yeah, she was interviewing Aaron with that for the Chick Chiny show. So
and
I just want to mention that.
Thank you to the Ministry of
Youth Sports and Culture
and the Culture Division.
And she placed second place inside that competition, actually. Let's go to the caller. Then we can respond to that.
Yes, respond to Papa.
In terms of American policy versus our culture and U.S. Embassy responding in protection of their citizens and our
Right, and let's talk about the use of the term hate crime as well.
Yes, and the use of the term, because hate crime is a serious crime.
Absolutely.
Yes. Go ahead, Carla. I'm sorry about that. We took a while. Carla, are you there?
Man.
Okay, go ahead.
Marvin Johnson here.
Yes, sir. Good day, good day.
How you doing?
Good, good.
No, I was trying to catch up with you. I didn't catch up with you.
I planned to come and see you this afternoon, or this after the show.
Yeah, because, you know, Thursdays and Tuesdays and Thursdays were my only day off. Good. But I purpose basically said everything that I wanted to contribute, mm-hmm. but I would take it a bit further, mm-hmm. that in our society, it's fine to be what you want to be. And like Papa said, once we go out there into the public and we intermingle with one another, mm-hmm. we should make it mandatory or some type of law that once you engage somebody, you say who you are. You understand? And that would mm-hmm. some of them fellas could dress up really, really pretty. You can't tell the difference.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Mm-hmm. Or some women can really look like men, and you can't tell the difference. Mm-hmm. So if someone approach you, you just say, now, okay, my name is such and such a person, and this is what I am. Mm-hmm. And then that person will probably back away or back off. You understand? Yeah. I just want to take it that much further than what Papa said. Mm-hmm. Thanks for taking my call.
No, man, absolutely. Thank
so
you.
So let me ask you this with hate crime.
Okay.
Let me say this first, and then I want you to define. No, I'm going to go back to Aaron. We're going to have a response.
Sorry. Oh, okay. All
Thank
right.
you
okay.
so much.
We have a number of transsexuals who are now officially changing the name. Pre-transsexuals. I mean, beautiful-looking, attractive-looking. There's a bad term to say they could pass for women. They are women, right? Because I don't want to say diminish them, say they could pass for women. They mm-hmm. are women. Trans women, right? And when they are out, they have fun. And to me, they tend to be attracted, this is me now, mm-hmm. to straight men.
Yeah.
Is that unfair? You know that you are a trans woman to straight men.
I mean, that's not how attraction works.
That's what
but I appreciate the dynamic, right? If you're saying, look, you're attracted to people who typically won't be attracted to you, bang. Isn't that a futile exercise? But that's not how attraction works. Imagine the white men in the Bahamas who were attracted to black women in a time when black women weren't allowed to talk to white men without them speaking first. What does that white man do with that attraction? In a world that says any relationship you have with a black woman is a relationship of oppression because you'll always be master and she'll always be servant, right? But put that aside. Let me talk about this term hate crime and the need to be very careful when we're using the term hate crime. Hate crime is a legal term developed in another jurisdiction to indicate an act that occurred solely because of a hate for someone or some aspect of them. Like you see a person who looks like a man with a full beard, but they have on all of the makeup of a woman and they're wearing a dress and this infuriates you. You don't know why they're there. You just run hard and you act violently towards them. There's no other consideration, no other interaction. You don't know them. The crime is motivated purely because of their perception of you. That's a hate crime. But sometimes we confuse other acts with hate crimes, right? We have to be very careful when we are ascribing that label to something. That is what it is. For instance, in the Bahamas, somebody's going to say, hey, I didn't just hit that trans woman because they're a trans woman. I will admit that I was angry. I will admit that I hit them. But I hit them because we were actually in a relationship and they threatened to out me. So that's why, because they threatened to out me is why I did it. That's not a hate crime, right? Or, yes, I killed that person, but not because they're gay. I killed them because they owed me $50,000 and they tell me they ain't paying me back. Even though the person that was killed is a gay person. And so as an advocate, I tell other advocates and people that we have to be very careful when we ascribe, when we use this label, hate crime, because it diminishes the work, right? It diminishes the work. Sometimes people are in conflict for other reasons. And it's important to get to the root of that. It is a very heavy label. I appreciate the Prime Minister's response, bringing attention to it. I have a feeling that he responded and the state's mechanisms responded so quickly because the phrase hate crime was used. They wanted to show the world, if the term hate crime is being used, we are taking it seriously. And then we investigate whether the details of the actual event warrant the term hate crime.
Even though there hasn't been any complaint?
Well, see, this is it. I appreciate the Prime Minister. One of the callers used the term political correctness, right? I appreciate the tone that the Prime Minister took. Say, look here, we're going to accept that label and then we're going to investigate and go through it. This has happened over the last, 3 days?
Mm-hmm.
2 to 3 days. We know the pace of government and the interaction between different agencies. The Prime Minister may have spoken without actually having been briefed by Royal Bahamas Police Force.
He could do that?
I mean, that's your Prime Minister.
Yeah, that's my Prime Minister.
He does it all the time.
Yeah, sorry.
So, but we're not diminishing what may or may not have taken place to the woman. Because we're talking about the impact of foreign policy, the impact on tourism. It diminishes our work as local advocates if we just ascribe hate crime to every single thing that happens.
How serious is the term hate crime?
It's extremely serious.
Now, what if the Bahamas is labeled as a hate crime of transgendered people? Is that a serious thing? Can we say, man, that's those transsexuals, don't worry about them.
Okay, so I think it is a serious thing to be labeled that. I think it's also a serious thing to be mislabeled that, right? I think we are seeing violence towards trans people.
Here in the Bahamas?
Yeah, man. We see violence towards trans people here in the Bahamas. We have incidents of men outside of gay bars, spaces that are known to be gay bars, that look effeminate,
mm-hmm.
being attacked. There's a particular story of a group of men who were outside a club opposite Junkanoo Beach.
Let me ask you this.
Right.
No. This is important. Remember Vic.
Right. Brother Vic.
I just remember the right name for him, right?
Right.
He was trying to open a club and we violently, when I say violently, passionately, we can burn it down type threaten type things, right? Is that a hate crime type verbiage? That we don't even want to allow them to have their own space to be safe?
That borders on hate crime. Like, what? Why are you going to just threaten to burn it down? People can't have their own space to be in. You're just doing it because they're gay.
So we don't want them inside our club, and then we don't want them to have their own club.
Right.
That's a hate crime.
Right.
That's hate. You just don't want them here.
Right.
That's hate.
One of the things Papa sort of said is like, hey, and I read Papa saying like, hey, wouldn't it be safer for trans people if trans people socialized in spaces created for the gay community?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it just be safer? Wouldn't there be less risk? Right? Because if I am a man or a woman and I come into this space, I'm going to assume that the people in this space are queer. Like me. You're right, they're LGBT, one of the letters, like me.
Mm-hmm.
And so this, you go from, we don't want them in our spaces, to you can't have no space of your own. That be getting closer to a hate crime. But that's psychological violence, right, as well.
I want to ask you about the implications of the U.S. Embassy responding. This needs to be investigated. Authorities taken seriously, right? This is the U.S. Embassy. When the U.S. Embassy said, we need to take this seriously, and then the Prime Minister speaks, be taking it seriously. And then when you hear the owner of the bar say, but I was defending myself. Doesn't that bias the whole thing? The Prime Minister speak, the U.S. Embassy, man, that boy guilty.
Right.
I conclude the boy guilty.
If I were the gentleman, I would feel away. I would be like, oh, wow.
I'm in trouble.
Is my voice as loud as the other voices?
It can't be as loud as the U.S. Embassy.
But now let's take a pause here. That's the U.S. Embassy's job. The U.S. Embassy's job is to investigate or demand a full investigation of any crime committed against an American citizen in the Bahamas.
Who defend us to? Remember, we've been complaining about this for a while, that we don't feel as if our government is protecting, is looking out for the interests of Bahamians. And then you heard the Prime Minister say, "Man, don't worry, we're going to investigate this." It sounded like this finished with.
Who defends us is a system that works, a judiciary that works and can be trusted, right? We should be able to rely on the police force to do an investigation and trust that that investigation will not be frustrated by any political interests. That's why the integrity of the Royal Bahamas Police Force and the members of the judiciary in the various forms, that the integrity is so important. And it must not just be done, it must be seen to be done.
I want to go to the caller, and we can patch the caller through, but I still waiting on the investigation of those persons who said, what are people living life, not living life key, what the chicken key? The guy who get arrested, the white guy who get arrested.
Nygaard Key.
I still waiting for the commissioner of police to come back regarding that, the people being trying to make a complaint to our police force for decades. And every time they say they gone, no commissioner seems to know what they're talking about.
I was only trying to make my complaint for 3 years.
Yeah.
So I appreciate the reality of it, right? But I just wanted to make that distinction. That we have to be very, when we use the term hate crime.
Mm. And do these local advocates have a duty of care to Bahamians? Anyway, let's go to the caller there, because they seem to like foreign people just because they belong in the alphabet. Forgive me, because that is actually biased. Yes, call it the alphabet.
Yeah, but let's have a conversation about that,
yes.
Right?
But let's go to the callers. But yes, I forgive me for that. I
can't row you on your birthday.
Yes, I appreciate that. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, okay. I have an idea, good suggestion for you, Aaron, that you could probably suggest too. But I tell you first, my cousin and I, we were on the prowl in South Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Fine-looking lady, we came by, and I wanted to pick her up. He said, "But you don't want to go there. She'll beat the out of you if you don't go her way." That was a good suggestion to me, so I decided I can stay in my lane. But why don't you recommend to the Minister of Tourism to list the places in the Bahamas where persons like yourself will feel free and comfortable to go directly to?
For the tourists?
You know, persons who seem to, you know, because the people see this as a mental disorder, whether you believe it or not. But just so that they can find a safe place and there'll be no damage done to them. They'll be in their own environment. So shouldn't the Ministry of Tourism post somewhere, this is where persons like you with this situation can be safe? That way we sort of suggest a remedy for it, because we are already out in the public. And then in the future, they will know where not to go.
But that would suggest that we violent, though, that they can't go certain places. And surely every place should be open for tourists.
Yeah, but I mean persons with this condition.
It's a condition.
I appreciate the sentiment you're trying to share, caller.
Yeah.
I would say thank you very much. Like, okay. Is it possible for the Ministry of Tourism to partner with our hotel stakeholders to ensure that any of our LGBT guests, whether visible or not, whether they identify themselves or not, for members of the LGBT community.
But Bahamians can find out. But, and as soon as we find out, we can say they got Christian council to come there and say, shut it down.
Now, you suggesting, in the same way that the caller may have been suggesting, that we are inherently violent and this is what we should expect from Bahamians. I would like to set the matter straight. What I have found as an advocate over the years, right, that incidents like these happen for several reasons. The first is, they were in a bar, people are drunk. When people get drunk, some of the social rules go out the window.
Mm-hmm.
Bang. Whether it is the trans woman who is drinking, the other people in the bar who are drinking. You're in a place where people get intoxicated, they come to get loose, things can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Bang. B, I have found that incidents arise after a political statement is made. So, for instance, in 2005, there was a show at Hard Rock Cafe. This show was in its 11th iteration. The visitors, they come once a year. They have, like, as a part of a cruise, they have a party night, bang. What had happened a couple of days prior to that is that some political wannabes, people who were trying to carve out a space for them in politics, found out about it. And they raised an alarm and they started spreading, some of them spreading nasty rumors about what was going to take place at the event. I was present when the authorities came in and raided the event. And listening to the commentary leading up to the event, what I could hear at the event and post, simply somebody decided that they were upset, they didn't want it to happen, and they set a series of motion, right, of events in motion.
Let's go to the callers again. Producer, pass the caller through. Go ahead, caller, can you hear me? Go ahead, caller, can you hear me? Let's go to the next one. Go ahead, caller, can you hear me?
Yeah, good morning, Ms. Green, and good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Morning.
You know, I don't condone these lifestyles, but like the caller say, we know that these people are incorporated in our family, in our society.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very quick fix here. We know that there's a social revolution going on, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So all that means is there will be a paradigm in which nightclub owners will be able to disclose, to be socially responsible. Also, being that the LGBTQIA is so multifaceted, some people are bi-curious, might be even tri-curious, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they would be able to identify themselves by color bonds, just like whatever. And then you've got to do biological reference. You'll be able to identify that this person is bi-curious.
52, that's...
Or by putting a star on their chest.
Or whatever. I tell you why I say that, Aaron. It's hard for me, at my age. I was at a restaurant the other day, and it was a beautiful lady walked in. She was running short pants, but she just walked past everybody. I didn't look, but I saw her. And so subsequently, there was another young lady that followed her, looking kind of butchish. I mean, like
modest, masculine, right? Presenting.
Yeah, and so what happens is, I've come across instances in which you present yourself to a female, and then there's a female coming and saying, that's a woman. So
mm-hmm.
This is a way to identify poor people and avoid these type of problems. I'm just being naturally biological here.
We're
attraction. You see mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So I'm at my age, I'm able to control myself, but maybe we should identify ourselves as who we are. And most of us, the crux of this is deception. Most of us are accepting deception. So we shouldn't allow someone to deceive. The problem lies within the deception. So once you make known, seeing that there's a social revolution going on here, it's not really male and female no more. And so you have to identify yourself as that. Be bold. Come out of the closet and just express what. But what I hear is what I do. When I see, because my brother told me, he was downtown the other day, he said he saw a very muscular, a faggot, dressed like a woman.
No, 52, you can't use that word, man.
Look how you had a good conversation, we had to cut you.
He's having a good time.
That's a calling people the N-word, man.
Okay, so disclosure is a very big thing, right? I can tell you why disclosure is a very big thing. Because many times our fears, our concerns, the things we call phobias are rooted in real experiences. Whether our reconciliation or processing of those experiences are valid is another thing, but the experiences are very, very real, right? We feel like we've been lied to, many of us, from childhood. I'm talking about us in the Bahamas, young people growing up. There's this lack of trust, right? There's this lack of honesty, lack of transparency in almost every aspect of our lives. And so when we come to our most vulnerable spaces, right, whether we believe it is vulnerable or not, we're talking about sexual intimacy, we have very strict and tight rules, and we do not expect to be lied to. As simple as that. When it comes to sexual intimacy, disclosure and honesty are very important things. But let's go to the we got to go to a break. Producer, can we take the caller quickly? We got to go to this break. Mm-hmm. Caller, please hold on if you can. We get to you on the other side of the break as we continue to walk through not treacherous, but complex conversation. You're
too late? Bye, we have 2 more minutes. Okay, let's get him, and then we go all together. Go ahead, Colin. Can we hear you?
Once again, in the same topic you're talking about, but this situation we got going on in our country now. These same tourists, what we call our bread and butter, these people travel the world, right? They don't only come to the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I put it to you like this, Ms. Green. If you're going to a Muslim country. And a Muslim country say, in our land, we don't do this and we don't do that. When you head into that Muslim country, a woman...
Sparky.
We ain't Muslim?
Since you already called me rude before I cut you just now. We don't do that here. Also, we're not making people wear labels like the Africans, the disabled people, mm-hmm. and the people of Jewish descent had to do in the Holocaust.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't doing that. We're not making Africans wear their hand around their neck to signify that they were a thief. We ain't doing none of that. None of that.
We got to go. I'll try to bring this conversation up again another time.
Because we need to talk about it. And I want to thank the callers in particular, like Papa, your contribution was wonderful. Man, thank you.
Okay. I'm just finally noticed that the trans lady was charged before the court. Only one person was charged.
Yeah.
That is interesting.
Yeah, we continue this conversation.
Have a wonderful day. God in rain near you.